So imagine you are spending, I don't know, thousands of dollars a month on data analysts just to cross-reference your Google Ads spend with your Shopify inventory.
Right, which is pretty standard for a lot of operators.
Exactly. But what if you could just fire that entire workflow today and replace it with a single plain English text message?
I mean, it feels like an impossible promise, honestly. For the last decade, we've just sort of accepted that scaling an e-commerce operation meant scaling the sheer number of browser tabs you have open at any given time.
Oh, absolutely. The endless tabs.
Yeah, constantly downloading CSVs, manually joining data across like a dozen different platforms. It's exhausting.
It is, but that era is effectively over, and that is exactly what we're looking at today. Welcome to the Deep Dive, everyone. For this one, we are digging into a highly technical, but honestly incredibly practical piece of source material.
Yeah, this is a fun one.
It really is. It's an April 2026 guide written by Igor Surgeon, and it's titled Shopify MCP Server: How It Works and What You Can Build. And our mission today is to understand how this specific technology, the Model Context Protocol, is just quietly rewiring e-commerce operations behind the scenes.
Completely rewiring them.
We're going to untangle the somewhat confusing landscape of the different tools available right now and look at the actual daily workflows operators are executing with them.
And you know, the timing on this guide is so crucial because there is this massive gap right now between what agency owners think this technology is and the actual mechanical reality of what it does under the hood.
Which leads to a lot of headaches, I assume.
Oh, tons. The result is just a lot of misconfiguration and wasted time. So we really need to bridge that gap today.
Okay, let's unpack this. Before we can get to the, Tuesday afternoon magic where people are automating these crazy workflows, we have to go down into the engine room.
Right into the plumbing.
Yeah. What actually is an MCP server?
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest, when I first read the term, my brain just defaulted to thinking it was a hyper-efficient executive assistant, like something that just listens to the AI and pushes a button in Shopify.
Yeah, and that executive assistant analogy is super common, but it vastly understates the heavy lifting happening in the background. So MCP stands for a Model Context Protocol. Anthropic introduced it as an open standard back in late 2024.
Right.
And if we are talking specifically about a Shopify MCP server, we are talking about a dedicated piece of server-side software. It literally sits in the middle.
Okay, so it's a middleman.
Exactly. On one side, it receives instructions from an AI client, which, could be Claude Desktop or ChatGPT or even a coding environment like Cursor.
Yeah.
And on the other side, it translates those AI requests into highly specific, authenticated Shopify API operations.
But let me push back on the idea that it's more than just a translation layer, because the guide outlines this very specific five-step path that a prompt takes,
It
right?
does, yeah.
And step one is simply you, the user, typing a prompt. Like, let's say, find products with stockouts in the last 7 days, sorted by recent revenue. And then step two is the AI parsing that and picking a tool. To me, it seems like the AI is doing all the thinking there.
Well, the AI is devising the strategy, yes. For
Yeah.
your prompt, the AI determines, okay, I need to call a tool to list inventory levels and then another tool to fetch product details based on the IDs I just found.
Right, that makes sense.
But step three is where the MCP server actually takes over, and this is where the real complexity lies. The server receives those tool calls via the protocol.
And mechanically, how is it doing that?
It uses JSON RPC, which is really just a standardized, lightweight grammar that computers use to send remote commands to each other.
Okay.
And it might receive this over an internet connection or even locally via standard input and output streams, what developers call Stidio.
Okay, so it gets the message,
Yeah.
but it isn't just blindly passing that message along to Shopify, right?
Yeah.
Because it has to act as a bouncer.
That's a great way to put it. It checks authentication, and more importantly, it enforces rate limits.
Wait, yeah, I wanted to ask about that. If I'm asking it to pull revenue data, inventory data, and maybe cross-reference Klaviyo, how is that technically possible without just immediately hitting Shopify's API rate limits and getting my store temporarily banned?
That is the exact problem the server solves. A well-built MCP server queues those requests, it spaces them out, and handles retries if Shopify pushes back. That's all happening behind the scenes.
Oh.
Yeah. And then step four is the actual execution where the server hits the GraphQL admin API, which is Shopify's backend data structure, and gathers the information.
And step five.
Step five is the server structuring that raw, messy database return into a really clean format that the AI can actually synthesize and read back to you.
And how long does that whole process take?
The entire round trip, even for parallel multi-API queries, often takes just a sub-second to a few seconds.
That's wild. A few seconds to do what used to take an analyst, you know, pulling two different CSV files and running a VLOOKUP for half an hour.
Exactly.
But I want to pause on a crucial design decision Igor highlights here regarding how the server exposes its tools to the AI. This whole thin versus thick servers debate.
What's fascinating here is how this design choice completely dictates the reliability of your AI, like night and day.
Okay, break that down for us.
So a thin MCP server exposes the raw Shopify APIs directly to the AI as tools. So the AI literally sees a tool called GQL.query.
So it's basically saying, here's the database, go crazy.
Pretty much. It is then entirely up to the AI to write the correct database query from scratch.
Which sounds incredibly dangerous, to be honest. If you're exposing raw GraphQL, aren't large language models notorious for hallucinating?
Oh, absolutely they are.
Like, if I ask a thin server a complex question, the AI might just invent a database field called ResentEvenue that doesn't actually exist in Shopify's architecture, right?
You've hit the nail on the head. Thin servers are highly flexible, sure, but the AI will constantly hallucinate syntax errors, causing the entire query to fail.
And nobody wants that.
Yeah.
So what's a thick server?
A thick server, on the other hand, exposes opinionated named tools. So instead of a raw query engine, the AI sees a tool pre-built by a human engineer, literally called something like orders.last7days or products.withstockouts.
Got it. So the human engineers have hard-coded the schema.
Exactly.
So the AI doesn't have to guess what the database fields are called. It just, you know, pulls the lever on the products.withstockouts tool, and the server executes the flawless pre-written code.
Right, and that completely removes the AI's ability to invent fake fields. Thick servers do all the structural heavy lifting in advance.
Which makes the AI's job so much easier.
Way easier. It results in vastly more reliable, consistent outputs. But, I mean, the trade-off is that thick servers require continuous maintenance by developers to update the specific tools whenever Shopify changes their API architecture.
There's always a trade-off. So, if thick servers are the clear winner for reliability, why is there an entire section in this guide dedicated to people installing the wrong things? Igor explicitly calls this the Reddit trap.
Oh, the Reddit trap, yeah.
He notes that mixing up the different types of MCP servers is the single most common mistake operators make, costing them a week of wasted time.
It really is, and the terminology is the culprit here. People use Shopify MCP server as this big umbrella term, as if there is only one piece of software out there. But in the 2026 landscape, there are three completely distinct flavors.
Okay, let's go through them. Flavor number one.
Flavor number one is the storefront MCP server. This is Shopify's official release, and it is aimed entirely at shoppers.
Oh, okay. So this is for the customer-facing chat widget.
Exactly. It's read-only access to the public catalog, meant to help shoppers find, you know, a red shirt in a size medium.
So it keeps the customers entirely out of your private warehouse data?
Completely isolated. It cannot read your order history or write inventory changes, but people install it hoping to manage their store and then get super frustrated when it can't do anything administrative.
That makes sense. Okay, what's flavor two?
Flavor two is the dev or admin MCP server. This includes Shopify's official developer version and some open source variants. The guide highlights the Jelly 2001 Shopify MCP repository on GitHub.
Okay.
This one gives full read and write access to the back end, but it is strictly designed for a single developer working on a single store.
Let me stop you there because I can hear an agency owner listening to this and thinking, great, Flavor 2 is open source and free. I manage 10 different client stores. Why wouldn't I just use that one?
I know, it's tempting. But it fails because of the friction of authentication.
How so?
Well, the dev version relies on a private app token, which is basically a master password for one specific store. And you have to paste that into a configuration file on your local machine.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Yeah, if you try to use that system for multiple stores, it simply does not scale past 3 or 4 clients.
Because to switch from client A to client B, you literally have to open a text file, delete the old token, paste in the new token, and restart your AI client just so it recognizes the new environment.
It completely breaks your workflow. I mean, every time the phone rings and a different client needs an update, you are restarting your software.
That sounds like a nightmare.
It is. Plus, the dev version only knows about Shopify.
Yeah.
Has zero visibility into the rest of your tech stack. And that is why we have Flavor 3, the operator layer MCP server.
Never.
The prime example in the text is Shop MCP. These are hosted, multi-tenant servers built specifically for agencies and direct-to-consumer operators.
And this is where the magic really starts to happen, right? because the operator layer bundles Shopify with the whole ecosystem. Like behind one MCP connection, you get Shopify, Klaviyo, GA4, Google Ads, Stripe, Google Merchant Center, just everything.
But how does it solve that token friction you just mentioned? What happens when an agency wants to switch contexts?
So an operator layer handles OAuth on a per platform basis.
Yeah.
And OAuth is just a secure digital handshake that grants access without you ever handling raw passwords.
Right, the sign-in with Google style thing.
Yes. And because the server is hosted and manages those handshakes centrally, you get seamless workspace switching. You just type into your AI, look at client B, and the context shifts instantly.
Just like that.
Just like that. All of client B's Shopify, Klaviyo, and Google Ads integrations are immediately available without restarting a single thing.
If you're listening to this and mentally calculating how many hours your team wasted just logging in and out of different client portals this morning, your next question is probably, what can I actually do with this once it's set up?
Oh, the use cases are wild.
Let's talk about the specific daily operations playbooks Igor outlines. Yeah, we are seeing a major transition away from simple, you know, retrieve a single data point demos and moving into really high value cross-platform workflows.
The morning dashboard is the perfect example. I read the section on fan-out queries, and it fundamentally shifted how I view AI.
It's a game changer.
Because previously, AI was limited by the context window. You couldn't just paste your entire multi-gigabyte database into the prompt box. But here, the MCP server completely bypasses that limitation, right? It feeds the AI only the specific sliver of data it needs to answer the question.
The efficiency of a fan-out query is staggering. You literally give the server one English sentence.
Like, how did we do yesterday?
Exactly. And it then fans out, executing parallel queries across entirely different tech stacks at the exact same time. It pulls revenue from Shopify, flags underperforming email flows from Klaviyo, and checks campaign spend in Google Ads.
All at once.
All at once. It waits for all those APIs to respond, joins that massive pile of disjointed data, and hands you a perfectly unified summary.
And it does that for multiple client workspaces simultaneously. That is incredible. Then there's the wasted spend audit. You can prompt the AI, find Google Ads search terms with over $50 spend in the last 30 days and zero conversions.
Right, and here the server uses a thick tool, specifically one called Google Leads.WastedSpend, to translate your request into GAQL.
Wait, is GAQL Google's proprietary query language?
Yes, Google Ads query language. And it has a notoriously steep learning curve for analysts. Most people hate writing it.
But the MCP server writes the GAQL, runs it against Google's API, and instantly returns a candidate list of negative keywords.
Exactly. You don't need to know a single line of syntax.
I want to take ownership of this next example because the catalog audit just blew my mind.
Oh, this one is so smart.
It is. Because it's not just checking Shopify for missing images. You can ask it to find products with titles under 30 characters or descriptions under 80 words. But then the MCP server actively cross-references that list against Google Merchant Center to see if those specific missing images are causing active ad penalties or low-quality beta flags. Am I understanding that mechanism correctly?
You are. It is executing an incredibly sophisticated relational data join between your inventory database and your advertising database.
Which normally requires a data engineering team.
Right, but here it's done entirely through a conversational interface.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. The inventory rebalancing prompt.
Oh, yeah.
You ask the AI to find SKUs with over 90 days of stock, pair them with SKUs in the same category that have under 14 days of stock, and propose inventory transfers.
Yep.
We're no longer just retrieving data. We are encroaching on strategic operational decision making.
Which brings up a frankly terrifying thought.
Let me guess. Accidental massive transfers. Yes. I do not want an AI hallucinating and accidentally executing a massive, destructive, write-like, moving thousands of dollars of inventory across the country. Just because I phrased my morning question weirdly.
And security is the paramount concern here, obviously. The developers of these operator layer servers have enforced a very strict mechanical boundary.
How does that work?
Well, while reads like pulling an audit or checking a dashboard are fast and seamless, the server architecture treats writes completely differently.
Okay, good.
Yeah. For any consequential action like executing an inventory transfer, updating a product price, or pausing an ad campaign, the server just stops.
Yeah.
It requires explicit confirmation in a follow-up prompt.
So the AI can draft the transfer order, stage it, and say, here's what I propose we do. Type yes to execute.
Exactly. It requires a human in the loop for the final mile. It is a really deliberate balance that gives you the speed of AI autonomy, but backed by the safety of human oversight.
That mechanism definitely helps me sleep better at night.
For sure.
Now, seeing this massive leap in capability, the eternal build versus buy dilemma comes up. If this technology is essentially the new nervous system of an e-commerce brand, should you build and host an open source MCP server yourself to keep total control? Or do you just pay a vendor for a hosted solution?
Well, the guide offers a pretty stark reality check on this. Most operators fundamentally want a hosted solution, and the people who think they want a self-hosted solution usually don't realize the hidden maintenance costs.
To me, self-hosting a multi-platform MCP server feels like building your own power plant just because you want to use a toaster.
That's a perfect analogy.
Like, do you really want to be the person on call when an API update breaks your local server on a random Friday night?
Most people do not. When you bill it yourself, you are entirely responsible for the OAuth token lifecycle, and tokens expire silently.
What happens then?
When that happens, your AI might start hallucinating answers because it secretly got a 401 unauthorized error from Shopify, but it didn't know how to gracefully tell you the connection died.
Oh, that's terrible. And a hosted solution handles that refresh token dance in the background automatically.
Exactly.
But are there any legitimate reasons to self-host?
Absolutely. If your company operates under a strict security policy that explicitly forbids any third-party service from holding your Shopify OAuth tokens, you have no choice. You must self-host.
Right. Enterprise compliance stuff.
Yeah. And if you are a solo developer working on one store and you don't mind the friction of local authentication, the free open source route makes total sense. Or if you need to fork the code to build a highly customized proprietary tool that just doesn't exist on the market.
But for the vast majority of agencies and operators, hosted wins because the vendor manages the complex rate limits, the retry logic, and the inevitable migrations when Shopify or Google update their API versions.
Interestingly, Igor notes that the industry is sort of converging on a middle path. Like a hybrid approach.
Oh, I love a good hybrid approach. How does that work in practice?
So agencies use a hosted operator layer service for their daily operations. It takes about 10 minutes to set up.
Nice and quick.
Yeah. You go through the OAuth flow for your SOARs, you copy a connection string into Claude Desktop, and your team is instantly ready to run audits and dashboards.
And the other side of the hybrid.
Their technical team will also keep a local dev MCP running specifically for deep custom code work. So it gives them the reliability of hosted ops with the ultimate control of local dev.
So what does this all mean? When we step back and look at the landscape Igor Surgeon has mapped out for us, it is clear that we have moved past the era of the AI tech demo.
Way past it.
The model context protocol is no longer an experiment. It is the fundamental connection layer of modern commerce. It takes the insanely complex multi-platform operations that used to require dedicated data teams and turns them into simple, natural conversations. The friction of the interface is basically gone.
The friction is gone. And I think that invites us to look at the immediate horizon. The examples we discussed today all involve a human operator prompting an AI.
But consider the underlying mechanics of MCP. It is an open protocol designed for systems to communicate. If your AI client can use an MCP server to understand your inventory.
Cool.
And your supplier's AI client uses an MCP server to understand their warehouse capacity.
Oh, wow.
Right. We are rapidly approaching a reality where your AI notices a stockout, autonomously connects to your supplier's MCP server, negotiates a purchase order, and executes the transfer.
Without a single human typing a prompt.
Right.
Agent-to-agent negotiation, facilitated entirely by these servers talking to each other.
Exactly. The tools are in place right now. The bottleneck is no longer the technology. It's really just our imagination of how to deploy it.
That is a staggering reality to ponder. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
It was a pleasure.
The next time you find yourself staring at 20 open browser tabs, manually trying to cross-reference your ad spend against your inventory levels, just remember, the engine room has been upgraded. You could be running that entire empire by simply asking for what you want. We will see you next time.